Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. January is almost half over. Amazing how fast things go. I'm very happy to be here today and happy that C.A. Brooks is joining me for our very first Meeting of the Minds for 2026. It was only a month ago that we talked. It was a month and a couple of days, but it really just seems like ages. It seems like a long time has gone by. And I think, you know, maybe that's because there's just so much energy that comes along with the holidays and the beginning of a new year. I mean, really, it's a lot. It's a lot. So maybe that's it. But I'm glad she's with me today, and we always have a good discussion. If you'd like to be part of it, we're live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. So you can just go to the 12radio.com chat room, and then you can go from there to YouTube by clicking the link posted under my banner. We may or may not have time for readings today because we usually get pretty wrapped up in our conversation. But you can find both of us. If you would like a reading from either of us, you can find us both on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning, Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me or if I'm busy, schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and will get back to you as soon as I can. We also have specials on 12listen.com a few days a week, specials meaning reduced rates on calls and chats. If you'd like to be notified of when those specials occur, just sign up for 12 promotions. You just go to 12listen.com and leave your email address, and then you don't miss anything. And I just want to say thanks. I always speed talk through my announcements because I'm excited to talk to CA. But thanks again for being here today, and thank you for listening however and whenever you do. If you listen to this show months from now or years from now, thank you. I appreciate it. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And that's all the shows from all the hosts on 12radio. And 12 Radio really is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So I really do encourage you to take advantage. And I just always, as always, want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today and for all she does for us on 12 Radio. And that giant undertaking of the prediction show last Friday that you can see in the archives or listen to from the archives, that was just incredible. I was amazed. As you know, I'm always glad to have C.A. Brooks on the show with me. C.A., if you're unfamiliar with C.A., is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer. She's an animal communicator, an avid student of A Course in Miracles, and she writes the Week Ahead section of Mark Husson's weekly newsletter, The Power Peak. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, and also streams live on YouTube. She has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So CA and I have known each other for a long time, since I think it was 2009. So, and she's been a monthly guest on my show since I think about 2011. So we have a great agreement. She's a good friend. And this show, we call it our Meeting of the Minds because everybody comes from different places. But the thing is that everything is acceptable during this show. You know, you can bring anything to the table, spirituality, astrology, tarot, feng shui, everything, stories about our families, dogs, anything else is welcome. And we could talk for days, I think, if we were let loose to do so. So this is always a fun show. And I'll have CA join me in just a few minutes after I start up, just establish the starting point, so to speak, of our conversation. And then we'll go as our intuition leads us throughout the rest of the show. But what I want to talk about, what's really in my head over the past few days, is about the benefits of release, you know, releasing whatever it is. But I want to look at releasing in a couple of different ways. First of all, I want to start by saying we only have so much space in our space. And if you use the metaphor of a closet, if you keep putting things in the closet and never take anything out, you don't have room for anything else to put in it. It's the same type of, it's the same concept. But what I'm talking about is space is our consciousness. So whatever's taking up a lot of your consciousness, good, bad, or indifferent, excludes or kind of cuts you off from something that you may be looking to bring into your consciousness or into your physical experience. So I want to talk about releasing releasing what's not serving you, such as physical things in your physical environment, or energy, or guilt, or judgment, etc. And I also want to talk about releasing what does serve you, your creativity, your talent, your generosity. In both cases, releasing creates space for what you want. And the reason why this came about was I took my tree down finally on Sunday. And not just the tree, but everything Christmas got put away on Sunday. And it was very interesting because it turned into a spontaneous clearing project. Cleaning things out, organizing, figuring out what I wanted to give away, what I didn't want to keep anymore, because things have changed. I consolidated all of Christmas into my living room because there was space in there. There's that word again. It used to be that we would have a big Christmas tree. Shannon and I would have a big Christmas tree. We had a 7.5-foot tall Christmas tree. And we would put it in the dining room because there are big windows and you could see it as you walked up to the front door. Well, now I've got a bunch of plants there, plants that I can't move. So that kind of, that took care of having a tree there for one thing. And honestly, I was ready to let go of that tree. As I said, it was 7.5 feet tall. I put it together a few times on my own. In the past, Channon put the tree together, got it all fluffed out, you know, got it in the right shape, and that was his part. And then I decorated it. Well, that was a wonderful agreement, and I could do that, even with a footstool. You know, putting ornaments on was a whole lot different than putting the thing together. But when I did it on my own, it honestly took the better part of a day just to put the tree together and shape it. And then it took hours to decorate it. And because it was so big, it needed a lot of ornaments. So, you know, I have my special ornaments that I've gotten over the years that we all do. I think we all, if we celebrate Christmas, we just, I don't know, they come to us, they're given to us, or we pick them up at places that we like. So those are our special ornaments, or my special ornaments that I'm talking about. But they took up very little space on that big, huge tree. So I had filler ornaments, quote unquote, filler ornaments. And the ones that I have had are really beautiful. They're just balls, you know, big. They would fit in your hand, fill your hand, round glass ornaments. And they were a really beautiful light purple. And I bought them before I ever met Channon, when I had a white flocked tree. And they were very pretty on there. It was a little boring, but pretty. And then I would put my other stuff on too. But I used those to fill the holes in the giant tree. Well, as I said, this year, before Thanksgiving, actually, beginning of November, when I was getting ready for my family to visit, I gave away that big tree. And again, because it couldn't go in the dining room, and I was just, my agreement with that tree, as far as I was concerned, was over. And I gave it away to the Vietnam vets, the place I donate stuff to. So they came and took it away, and I was really, really happy about that. But, and I bought a 6-foot tree, and I put it in the corner of my living room. It was a perfect space for it. And I was able to put my special ornaments on it and didn't need anything else. So it was really, really just the perfect tree for me. And it had all these lights that changed colors and stuff. And I turned on the teal colored lights. And it was the most lovely, lovely, happy tree I've had in a few years anyway. So as I was taking the tree down, the ornaments, and getting all the decorations together, I just gathered all of those filler ornaments and decided to donate them. And someone will love them. They're really beautiful. And there's a lot of them. There's probably 8 boxes of them, those little small boxes that contain, I think, 8 or 9 ornaments. And there's only a few that got broken over the years, which is surprising. I've had them forever. And I also donated another set of satin ornaments that, you know, from the 60s, because I had in the living room, when I didn't have the big tree, I had a really skinny, tall aluminum tree, because my house is modern and I thought I needed one of those. But it was the tree that we put in the living room and put gifts under it for our parties with the little kids. So anyway, I gave that tree is in its spot, the aluminum tree, and all of those ornaments are in boxes ready to give away to the vets who are going to come and pick them up tomorrow. And it feels so good to give them away. I mean, they've lived a life with me, and now someone else will love them. And that, I think, when you're considering donating or giving anything, that's the first blessing in giving is, am I using this? No. Do I really think I'm going to use it? No. Give it to somebody who can use it. In the case of clothes, if I'm not wearing that, somebody could be wearing it, you know? So that's always kind of my first criteria. But the other part, the second blessing, was in giving those away, made a lot of space in this big bin that I had all my ornaments in. So I was able to put other decorations, not just ornaments, in it, and it combined with another smaller bin that had mainly tablecloths and napkins in it, which I gave a bunch of those away when I gave away the big tree before I decorated everything. I was able to put everything in those boxes, in those bins, and the tree is in its box. And so everything is just tucked away in my storage closet, just perfectly. No stragglers at all. And the tree. And this was funny. After I got it all undecorated, I looked at it, this 6-foot tree, it's not massive. And then I looked at the box that it came in, and I'm thinking, how in the heck am I going to get it back in there? Well, I don't know. Must have been, obviously it was God helping me, because I did put it back in, and I taped the heck out of it with packing tape as I held it together with my knees, you know, kept it shut. But I'm telling you, it just felt like such a victory. And I don't really know why it had that big an impact. I donate stuff all the time, but this just kind of felt different. Sort of the end of one chapter and maybe the beginning of another. Just different. Time to move on. You know, everything moves. Everything has a lifespan. Everything. So, but the thing that was interesting about it is it was a project that kind of did itself, and I went along with it. And boy, by the end of the night, I was tired, but felt so good because it was so productive. So that's my story. But over the past few days, I've talked to people that were really feeling overwhelmed, distracted, and I think haunted is not too big a word to use. Haunted by the past, haunted by the future, which doesn't exist. And the thing is that when we're overwhelmed, when we're worried, distracted, we are kind of at the mercy of the past, right? So we're in kind of a, how do I want to say, dissipated state energetically if we're overwhelmed, worried, distracted. So mistakes we made and the accompanying guilt, regret, self-judgment, all of that that goes with it, just come out of nowhere and start taking up a whole lot of space in our space. And then it can go from there to worrying about the future. You know, did I ruin my future because I made those mistakes in the past? You know, the thing of it is, neither of which, the past or the future, exist. And we can do nothing about it. Either one of them, we can do nothing about them. And the fact that we can't do anything about them except, you know, punish ourselves for mistakes we made, that just increases our suffering. So, you know, attention gives life to whatever it's focused on. So what we focus on, wanted or unwanted, expands. I did healings for my clients that were in that space, grounded them, moved a bunch of energy out, erroneous energy, because it doesn't belong to you. What doesn't feel good, guilt, shame, you know, worry, all of fear, that's erroneous energy. They have no power at all, which is why they can be moved, which is why we can move them ourselves if we have tools and know how to, and, you know, or a method to do it. But I moved a bunch of energy for them, and afterwards, they got back to themselves. And one of them said, and this was just priceless, said, "Wow, I can actually feel myself sitting here in my chair in my office. I can feel myself here." And I love that. I thought that was just really perfect. I'll never forget that voice saying those words. You know, when we're all over the place in our heads, we're not in our bodies. And our bodies are our vehicles. When we're in our bodies, when we're grounded, we can be present. But, you know, the thing with that is as the Buddha said, suffering that has a cause also has a cure. Erroneous energy, as I said a second ago, has no power, which is why it can be released. And then the last form of release that I want to mention or talk about, and not a lot because I want to talk to CA, is about expressing your creativity or talent. The release that happens as you do something you love, whether it's your creativity or talent or just doing something you love. Because in doing so, you are expressing the divine. Remember, God is the enjoyer and the creator. Man isn't. Man is the instrument through which God enjoys and creates. And that's why it feels so good to do it. And when you do, it opens the door for an even greater expression. So, as Jesus said, to him who has, more shall be given. And on that note, I'm going to stop and talk to my friend CA. Hey, CA, welcome. Happy New Year. Thanks for being here.
Happy New Year to you, too. Yeah, it's great to be here. And I am smiling to myself because everything that you say when you do these openings, they always, you know, just resonate so highly with me.
Oh, good.
But
good.
So much of this did. But the reason I'm smiling really is because, I mean, on two counts. One, Kelly actually sent me a text this week that had a picture, and she goes, I painted something, and this is the first thing I've painted in a while, and she shared it with me, and of course, it was gorgeous. And thanks. But she sent it to me when I was sitting in a watercolor workshop. And it was a workshop that friends of mine were doing, and it was pretty low key. It's an artist. He is very famous internationally, but he moved to Las Vegas, which is where I live. And so they were excited and they said, "We're getting him and he's coming to our house and we're just having 15 people. Will you come?" And originally I said, "No, I just can't fit all this in. But then I changed my mind at the last minute, so I went. So here I am sitting in this watercolor workshop, and Kelly sends me this text of this painting. So I thought, oh, what beautiful synchronicity. But the other thing that happened in that workshop, which is exactly what Kelly is talking about, is that I had gone to change out my water or something, and I was walking back through the tables, and all of a sudden I just stopped. And the woman that was standing, she goes, "Are you okay? Is there something going on?" And I kind of looked at her and I blinked and I said, "I'm sorry, I just left my body." And I did, because the truth is I had decided not to do the workshop because there were so many things going on. You know, mm-hmm. and then I felt mm-hmm. like it deserved my attention, and I just had to take care of them. And it had been a very busy week. And so there again, I'm even thinking, what am I even doing here? I was having a hard time keeping my attention where I was. And literally sure. at that moment, I was nowhere in that workshop. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm standing there holding this thing of water, and I'm like solving some other problem in my head. Mm-hmm. And it became so obvious that it was like, I had literally just left the room. I had, you know, my body was standing there, but I had left the room. I went, oh my God, wow. See, just ground yourself. Come back. You decided to do this, so be here now, you know? But, uh-huh. and I mean, things like that do happen. Like all of a sudden I realize my eyes are not seeing because I'm in my head. Yes. I am totally in my head and I'm somewhere else. And I've been doing that a lot lately. Uh-huh. And it just doesn't work, you know?
Right.
And it's dangerous, you know?
Right. Right.
It is. It's literally dangerous to just be trying to be in different dimensions all at the same time. And I'm not trying to do it. I'm just not prioritizing whatever I have decided that I'm doing at that point. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in fact, I even just looked at her and go, I'm a Pisces. Sorry about that. You know? And she goes, I understand. You know? But it is so true that, you know, I mean, we pay a lot of lip service to this idea. We can't do anything about the past and we can't do anything about the future. We absolutely mm-hmm. cannot. And I'm going to bring A Course in Miracles in here because one of the things that it says, in fact, I always find this funny. At the very end of the book, there's like 30 some chapters, maybe 32, 33. And at the very end of the book, you know, there's always this resistance to any behavior. They don't refer to behavior. And so, and I say they, but it doesn't refer mm-hmm. to behavior. But at the very end, it says, okay, if you want, you know, like a few suggestions here, this is what you can do. Every morning when you wake up, do blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? You had to wait till the end of the book to tell me this? But even at that, well, you look at what they are and it's still not really behavior, you know? It's like, but what it is saying, and this is where I'm going, almost the relief, because there is so often, I feel like my shoulders literally come down. Yeah. I just relax because it says, all that you've got is this very moment. And in this moment, all you can do is choose. Are you going to choose to go with the ego? Are you going to choose to go with whatever this life of yours is? Or are you going to choose to be, I mean, in other words, it's like choosing, are you going to be a character in the dream or are you going to be the author of the dream? Mm-hmm. You might mm-hmm. see it that way, you know, and of course, mm-hmm. there's lots of different things. Sometimes they say your right mind versus your wrong mind. You know, there's lots of, choose God versus the ego. But ultimately, it's saying, which way are you going to choose? And that's the only thing you can do in this moment is make that choice. Mm-hmm. And once you make that choice, then things start opening up. And usually when we get all that distracted and all that overwhelmed, we suddenly have taken it back into our hands. We think we're controlling it. Mm-hmm. You know,
well,
and we're not.
No, and we feel out of control.
Yes.
That's the problem. We can't control it. And so it steamrolls, you know?
Yes.
I mean, it just turns into monsters. Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean
it. No, I'm glad you said that. And it absolutely does. And I mean, so once again, it's like, oh, well, I've got to do this. I've got to go do that. I've got to pick that up. Here's my errand. Here, I've got to feed the dog. Got to walk. Got to, you know, I've got this whole thing. And goes, no, just stop. In this moment, all you have to decide is, are you going to stay in your right mind? At this moment, are you just going to choose to be literally guided? Are you going to choose to connect with whatever that voice is in the head or whatever you want to call it? And are you just going to listen? And then you'll find that you're going to see the things you need to see. You're going to find the things you need to find. Things are going to unfold. But you're always trying to like push the future or stay in the past. And I think that is just so true. We're always letting those two things guide us instead of just going, no. In this moment, I really only have one decision to make. In this moment, I only have one choice. And it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing as, you know, like that app that says calm, you know, take 10 seconds, 15 seconds to just breathe or to listen. It is that. It's like stay in the moment. And then you know, and the thing I find is that I really am guided in that moment. Like, for instance, and when I say with A Course in Miracles, it doesn't give you behavior. It'll say things like, or I mean, this isn't, I'm not sure it says this, but be kind. Well, what does that mean? How do I be kind? And it's like, but the point is, when you're staying in the moment, you don't need to know what that looks like. You don't need to decide ahead of time. No. You just stay in the moment and be guided. Allow yourself to just be guided in that moment. And it's such a freer way to live. Oh. But there again, I, you know, how many times a day do I have to learn the lesson? How many times a day do I have to remember? But the truth is I do. And I'll give another example of this that we just accept. Yeah, because we keep trying to take the reins back, you know, or we keep trying to take it back. Recently, which happens to me, you know, because I'm on the computer a lot and I type a lot, I go through a lot of keyboards, like maybe about once a year, I change them out. And it, I had recently changed one out. In fact, I had one ready to go. You know, it's like I had already ordered it. I knew, like, next time I want another keyboard, I'm going to get it. And I had ordered basically the same kind, same company. But this one, of course, they've updated it a little bit, and it really is much smaller. Oh. And I thought, okay, that's all right. But as you can imagine,
no,
you know, when you type hours a day, you know exactly where your fingers are going to hit, almost, you know, like on a piano or something.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'm not hitting the keys necessarily so wrong, but I'm doing two things. One, I'm hitting them way too hard. And I mean, and that's even an old joke, because I can remember one time on radio, I don't know if it was you or who it was, but I was typing something. I was typing
notes. It was me.
Yeah.
I thought you were tap dancing on your keyboard.
Yeah. You said, what is that noise? And other people said, that sounds like a machine gun. See, like, you know. And so
it's funny.
I do tend to type really fast and really hard, because of course I learned on a typewriter, you know, and you had to really strike keys. And I also play piano, and on piano you have to, I mean, I have an old fashioned upright, so you have to strike the keys. It's not this real soft touch of a keyboard. So anyway, this new keyboard of mine, I am just like beating it up. You know, and but here's where I wanted to go. And one thing I am doing is I'm continually hitting the backspace and the delete on this particular keyboard are in a slightly different position than they were in others.
Yeah.
So I'm continually mixing them up. And I've become so frustrated going, I am so tired of hitting the wrong key. I am so tired of this. And then, you know, just the other day I sat here and I go, but you know what, CA? The keyboard's not going to change. You've got to change. You've got to decide when you sit down that you're going to have a softer touch. And you have to consciously say, that is not the delete button. That's the backspace. And that's the backspace. And that's the delete. So you can continue to be frustrated, or you can adapt your behavior. you can be in the moment with this keyboard.
Or and, you can get another way, or you can get one that was like your old one.
Yes, except that, like I said, this one was, I don't think the old one is there anymore. This is, I got the exact, yeah, I go to Amazon, I get the exact same thing. This is the updated version, apparently, of what I had.
I know what you're talking about. I've had that same experience and fought with it. And then finally I got an HP that's a big one. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's so much easier. I don't have to think about it.
Well, and I may have to do that. I may have to do that but what I realize, and I think where I'm going with this, is that I keep wanting the keyboard to be wrong instead of just saying, no.
Oh, got it.
This is the keyboard. And so you can either adapt or, like you said, I can buy another keyboard. But it's just funny that I'm creating the tension. I'm creating the upset and the frustration by thinking that somehow that magically the keyboard's going to be different. And it's not. You know? And right. Here I'm just, and like I said, I find myself just pounding away and I go, okay, soft touch. Soft touch. And even that, you know, maybe it's like gentle. And, you know, I had told Mo on my show, I'm reading a biography of Benjamin Franklin. And it's interesting because he uses the words gentle communication.
Huh.
And all of a sudden I was like, gentle communication. Now that's interesting. General discourse with somebody. And I thought, now there is an idea, you know. And so, well, because once again, those things just kind of hit you. And I go, you can be gentle with the keyboard. You can be gentle in your communications. And ironically, I am literally listening to this biography on my headphones when I'm walking my dog yesterday. And I come across somebody who has a license plate that says Hamilton.
Oh, funny.
I was like, thank you, universe. I love those little synchronicities.
Oh, I do too.
And there again, so yeah, just pay attention. Just even like a few sentences or a few concepts. Gentle communication. Gentle interaction with your keyboard. And, you know, just figure this out. Don't let the past and where your fingers hit in the past dictate what you're doing in this moment. Because truthfully, I'm spending so much time correcting things that if I would just slow down, I wouldn't have to be correcting them all, you know?
But don't you think, I'm going to just throw something at you.
Yeah, sure.
But don't you think having to think that hard about it is impeding your flow?
Well, yes, I do. And quite honestly, what I was really thinking is I thought maybe I'll put a little tiny piece of scotch tape on one of those keys, because then by touch, I'll know that which key I'm on, you know, because, you know, it just might help. And yes, it does disturb my flow. But I think what I'm saying is what I feel in my life is sometimes I'm a runaway train. I have a lot of Aries energy, which is fire. And of course, astrologically, cosmically, we're going into a year and into a decade, really, where there's going to be lots of air and fire. And so a person like me, I mean, it would be to my advantage to be able to slow down and be more purposeful, more methodical, you know, just pay more attention rather than being the runaway train. And so there again, maybe there's a very good reason that now I have this keyboard that just needs a much softer, you know, a much slower touch than what I was doing. And I think, you know, can I adapt or am I going to go, nope, I've always done it this way. I'm going to continue doing it this way. And that's the way it is. Because see, that's more my style, Kelly. That's more my style is I'm like, I've always done it this way. I'm not going to change now. Well, where does that get me? What does that give me? You know, is that to my advantage? Is it to anybody's advantage?
Actually, it's not. But
no. So talk about release.
It's great to be. Yeah, exactly. It's great to be aware of that, though. You know, I mean, just really, it's good to know that that's your MO, you know, or much of the time.
Yes. And it goes right into what you're talking about releasing. Mm-hmm. Can I release the past? Can I release? Yeah, this is the way you've always done it. So what? Can you create the space for something new?
Yeah.
You know, release it. Release it. Let it go. So, I mean, that's how I saw it. Like I said, I'm listening to what you're saying today and I'm going, oh my God, just in so many areas. Just, mm-hmm. can I just release that? Can I just be in the moment and create some space for something new? And here mm-hmm. again, I'll bring in a little astrology. I think it's fascinating because Venus, which is the planet of what we attract, what we think is attractive, what we find is meaningful, is meeting up with Uranus this week. Uranus is the planet that resonates within our consciousness of breaking through old habits or breaking through limitations, walls, or anything that we have built up in our life that just aren't functional. You know, we have all these rules. Saturn helps us set rules, but sometimes those rules don't work anymore because we're not 5 or we're not 20 or we're not even 35 or whatever. So Saturn has its purpose of creating the rules, but Uranus comes along and says, well, how is that serving? How's that serving the world? How's that serving you? So Uranus helps us see through and break through to something new. Well, Venus is meeting up with Uranus this week. But the way she's meeting up with Uranus is it's through a trine, which means she's not actually in the same space as Uranus. She's just reaching out across the universe, so to speak, and holding hands with him or having a meeting with him, right? But then she does that on Thursday, and then on Saturday, she actually moves into Aquarius, which is the sign that Uranus rules. So see, I think that meeting on Thursday, and as you look into the future, they've got a lot more meetings set up between now and April 23rd. And so I think this particular time, like when I see Venus and Uranus in relationships or, you know, anywhere in our life, I always think, oh, something big is starting, something big, you know, because we're breaking through. But this mm-hmm. week, it feels like release. Cool. I mean, that's exactly what it feels like, because what it is exactly what you were talking about. Create the space. You release. I mean, Uranus comes along and says, hey, Venus, I know you were really attracted to that. I know you were really using that, but let's create a space for something new to come into your life. Yeah. And so I think that's what's going on for us this week is and by the way, we're at the end of the lunar cycle too. We're going to have a new moon on Sunday. And so Uranus is going, hey, I'm your guy. I can help you figure out where to donate this, where to give this away and say, hey, thank you. You are a beautiful Christmas tree. You are a beautiful habit. You are a beautiful whatever. But now something better, something else is coming along. And we're going to create some space. So if we have those aha moments this week, it's very in alignment with what you're talking about on this show today. Releasing mm-hmm. so that you can prepare for something new to come along. Opening our lives up. And Venus and Uranus is going to help it. They're going to help us do that.
Well, and I think too, it just hit me when you were talking, and I don't know if I can put it into the right words the way it hit me, but when I just had I got to get rid of all those ornaments, you know, when I just had that feeling that this is what I have to do. I'm never going to use them again. So why are they sitting there? And which is, you know, that was great, but it's also, we don't ever stop evolving. We don't ever stop moving, growing, changing. And I think when we get rid of things, even, you know, whatever it is that we can release, we step into more further into this current present time version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we're available, you know, we're available for new things, new direction, maybe some adventure, you know, but if you're, they tie you down and not literally, not that we think about it, but they do. You know, this is not, this is dead weight. You know, it's stagnant energy in feng shui. Whatever you're not using or don't, you know, or don't love, someone will, you know, someone will. And that just makes space in your space for what you really do want. And then you can move forward even more, you know, because it's always ongoing. It's always ongoing. We're constantly evolving, constantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of cool to just to realize that and to give yourself the love to be there.
Right. And yeah, trust the process. Mm-hmm. Just trust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I find sometimes there are things in my life that I'm just not willing to let go of. Sure. And so what I do is then I just go, okay, what is this about? And it doesn't mean that I ultimately let it go, but I recognize, I feel insecure without that thing. You know,
interesting.
And I mean, so there again, we can always learn from it. We don't have to, in other words, we don't have to push ourselves to let things go. We can just say, well, you know, where is it? What is it teaching us? Because a lot of things are so easy and then something else isn't. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, what's the attachment to this that I never use? And I often recognize it's an attachment to a lifestyle that I don't have. You know, like I give the example, I used to have like, oh my God, I mean, I could serve dinner to 20 people, 25 people. And I would have like four or five different sets of dishes. Mm-hmm. And I said, I was raised in a family of 10 children, you know?
Right.
So that made sense. But you know what? That's not my lifestyle. Do you know how often I've had 20 people for dinner? Never. Mm-mm. Never. And so, but I recognize sometimes I'll look at the dishes and now I've gotten rid of all of them except one set, but I look at them and I go, that's an attachment to a lifestyle that I thought I was going to have, but I don't. So, you know, when you're ready to go, hey, guess what? Not ever going to happen. But, you know, the other piece of it that I look at is I go, do you really want to have 20 people over for dinner? And you know what the answer is? No.
Hell no.
No. I mean, I wish I was the hostess with the mostest, but I'm not. You know, that would totally stress me out. You know?
Yeah.
So I'll go to one of my siblings' homes and I'll bring something, but you know, no, that's not going to happen. And so, but there again, I can kind of laugh at it and go, okay, so you know what? Maybe you can divide all those dishes in half and you can give half of them away, you know, or whatever. But I just, or I'll find some kind of a serving dish and I'll go, yeah, that would probably hold like, you know, lots of mashed potatoes. But you're never going to make that many mashed potatoes. I think that's the hard thing is just finally just coming to terms sometimes with hopes and dreams and just going, no, that's not your lifestyle. But better yet, you don't really want that lifestyle. So let it go. Right. Let it go to that person who does have all their relatives come over for dinner. You know?
Right. Right. Well, and I know what you're saying, because there are things that, you know, when I go, like I'll go through my closet or just looking at things, you know, every time I get a reminder, hey, we're going to be in your neighborhood from the Vietnam vets, it's like, okay, I'll find something. I mean, I can, but it's just me now, you know, I mean, I've given away a lot of stuff. But what's interesting is I'll go through and I'll see something and I'll go, okay, yes, give it, okay, fine. And then I'll maybe touch something else or look at something else. And I just don't have my inner green light to give it away. And and so it's, I think we have to honor that too. You know, you don't have to know why I don't think in the moment, but it's just like, for now, it's not a yes. So let's just see what happens, you know, because things happen, crazy things happen, you know, down the road and you look back and go, that's why I kept it.
Yeah.
You know, or that's why I did that. So
Well, yeah, because I've had that. I've had that happen, and then somebody come along and go, "Oh my God, I could really use a big pitcher," and I go, "I've got one," you know. And it's mm-hmm. I mean, the reason comes, and you go, "Hey, I just happen to have this," and they're like, "Well, why?" And I go, "Well, because I just do. It's meant for you." Mm-hmm. You know, here it is.
Yep. Yep.
And somehow I've known that when I was getting rid of stuff that I needed that picture for some reason.
Yeah. So, you know, be in your intuition when you're mm-hmm. doing that, when you're clearing out anything, just be in your intuition. But I think it, like, energetically, like talking about being overwhelmed or distracted, that adds a lot of weight to your head. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that is almost like literal weight, that kind of energy that you feel like you're just buried under. So, you know, whatever method you use to let go of energy, be proactive and, mm-hmm. and ground, because that, you know, it's just, it can feel pretty bad for a long time if you don't address it.
Boy, it sure can. It sure can. You know, and especially that believing that something in the past is controlling your present and your future. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let it go. Let it go. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, it's like Joel Goldsmith said, and I really like this. You know, he said, if you look at something, he's one person. I've heard different, you know, heard and read different versions of this. But, you know, if you're in the past paying for something that you did, well, Ram Dass said, the best one is, the more guilt and shame and whatever it is, mistakes you dwell in, the further you push God away. Because, you know, God's not in the past, not, and doesn't hold you to account for anything. You know, that's all human. But Goldsmith said, look at something that you're constantly paying for that comes to knock on your door as a mistake that you can't forgive yourself for. And just ask yourself if in this moment where you are and what you know, you would do that again. And if the answer is no, you've evolved past it. Drop it off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, like in that movie, The Mission. I think we talked about it before. I'll just say it really quickly. I mean, it's one of my favorite. I don't remember liking the movie in particular, but there was a guy and he was punishing himself. These missionaries are walking through the jungle and he's punishing himself by carrying this whole big bag of useless things because he thinks God wants, he's punishing himself, literally, you know, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. but he keeps slowing down the whole team because of doing that. And so finally they're so fed up with him that somebody takes the bag and they throw it over a cliff. And he's tempted. You see him, he wants to go get it. And they're like, no, you know, we're moving on and we're moving on without you if you can't let that go. And I remember my heart just kind of stopped. I go, oh my God, how often do we do that? Or do I do that? I'm holding everybody back because I have to keep, you know, being guilty or whatever it is about something. I've got to, you know, make myself unhappy and I've got to make you unhappy too.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that is so a great incredible. Metaphor. I know. It was perfect. So incredible. And I never forgot that movie because of that one scene. The rest of the movie, I don't even know what it was about, you know?
Yeah.
But throw that over the
cliff. For that reason.
Yeah, you're holding us all back here. So just stop it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so, yeah. Anyway, not to beat a dead horse, but that's heavy. It's heavy stuff if you hold on to that.
Yes,
so
it
drop
is.
It off the cliff.
Yes, it is. And maybe sometimes the first step is I'm not willing to throw this over the cliff, but I'm willing to be willing to throw it over the cliff. You know, just baby steps.
Yeah.
So, hey, Kelly, thank you so much for having me on the show today. And like I said, your topic was perfect. It was so timely. Literally, with several things going on in my life this week. And I am glad to have been able to kind of talk those things out like the keyboard. I have a new plan. Yeah.
Well, I always love it when you come, CA. We have a great discussion, and I just love the way it always works that way. You know, mm-hmm. it's all kind of woven together, you know, with where you are, where I am, and events in our lives. And that's just God. You know, that's just a kiss on the cheek from God and a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So thanks again for being here today. Everyone, you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I hope you have a very, very blessed week. Oh, before we go, because we have a couple minutes, what do you have going on, CA? Anything?
Well, the usual, I'll be on 1-2 Listen. I do ask, you know, as much as possible, if you really want to get me, please request a scheduled call, or just, you know, send me a quick message and say, hey, this is when I'm available. Will you be online? Because that way we won't miss each other. Because I do, like, I'm all booked up this afternoon. And mm-hmm. so you won't necessarily see me online because I've already got scheduled, you know, appointments. But just, you know, just let me know when you're available and I'll be there. So yeah, the typical thing, I'll be available for readings.
And if they need astrology done, they need to let you know their particulars, right?
So, well, right. It is helpful also, if I haven't talked to them before, because that way I can get their chart all ready for them.
Right. Yeah. Right. That makes sense. Good, good, good. Yep. Well, everyone, as I said, you've been listening to Empowerment. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver and have a very, very blessed week. Thank you. Bye-bye.